This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys.
Hello, hello. Welcome to episode number 68. This episode is with Sarah Knapp. Sarah is the founder of Mappy Hour and Outdoor Fest, which are we're going to kind of explain in the beginning of the podcast, pretty much right from the get. But basically, it's just, I mean, most of what Sarah does is just focus on getting people outside and exploring in areas that you wouldn't even really think would be outdoor areas. So before we get into that, just a couple of things here. We do have our gear episode, gear talk. I mean, it's a gear talk, but it is our gear preview. There's going to be three of them, maybe four, depending on how much I can stand talking in one sitting. Just kind of going over gear that's going to come out for the season, stuff that I like, stuff that's new, stuff that's changing, obviously normal ramblings of nothing. But the exciting thing is that it's basically just going to be segmented into ski, boot, binding, and accessories. Hopefully binding and accessories is going to be in one. Because there's not a ton of shit that changes with clothing and accessories. And bindings this particular year, other than being angry about a particular binding, there's nothing changing really. Or at least that's worth talking about. So we'll do that. Hopefully we'll do those together. And then skis will be the first one to come out, probably. Unless I feel like teasing everybody a bit, which I probably won't. But skis is obviously the sexy thing of the group. So look forward to that coming out sometime in September. Before we get into this episode, I just wanted to thank our sponsors. We have, for this episode, we have Bomber Strap. Bomber Strap makes a tailgate pad for a single bike. They have some awesome new colors out, and it's definitely worth a look into some of their product. It's just awesome. I've been using it for a while now, and I'm a big, big fan. It's, yeah, for sure, check it out. The new colors are awesome. The blue, I feel like I change my favorite all the time. The red or the blue, the green is kind of, I think, my least favorite pretty consistently, but the red and the blue are awesome. Or obviously, there's regular ones, regular color ones as well, but the dragon skin looking ones are awesome. Could I say awesome more? In addition to that, so before I guess I can move on to the next one, you can find all the information on Bomber Strap at bomberstrap.com. We also put up all their information on the little sponsor highlight in our Instagram stories and stuff. So it's probably a good reminder if you don't follow us on Instagram and on social media in general, get on that shit now. And leave us a review on iTunes if you can. As usual, I'm trying to do a better job of reminding people to do that as much as possible so we can keep going up with this thing. It's going into our busy season, like the time when it actually, like the podcast really matters actually, which is ski season. Bike season's great and all, but you know, I think we all know. Anyway, I also would like to thank Burn Helmets for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Burn Helmets has been a sponsor for a while now. They make some awesome, awesome products. One of our upcoming episodes with Brian Landrigan, who is now the Fisher Skis marketing director, what used to work at Burn Helmets. Burn Helmets is, I mean, they make awesome product. They make all kinds of different stuff: ski, bike, skate, wake, the whole shebang, and you can save 15% off of your helmet purchase with the promo code Out of Bounds. Yeah, so without further ado, here's Sarah Knapp and episode 68. Thanks. All right, who are you? What do you do? What's going on?
What's going on? So we're here at Outdoor Retailer in a booth.
We are.
Of some sort, or a back room.
In like actually, a closet, yeah.
Yeah, it's more like a closet than a booth. And my name's Sarah Knapp, and I'm the founder of Outdoor Fest and Mappy Hour.
Cool.
Both were started in New York City around 2014.
Okay.
And we are all about getting people who live in urban centers together, celebrating and going outside.
Awesome. So why did you start
either of those. You can tell me if they're separate reasons, then you can tell me them separately.
Sure. Yeah. Like the origin story.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm from Jersey, and okay. I kind of grew up, you know, there was some nature, it was the suburbs, so the trees, but, you know, maybe not like as epic of nature options. And I always was really drawn to being outside. I ran cross country in high school and learned to ski at the end of middle school. And my family was very not into the skiing.
Really?
Yeah. So I joined the ski team in high school because we had one, which was amazing. And it was like there's one mountain in Jersey that you go to after school.
What is it?
It's called Mountain Creek.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. I knew that.
Yeah, and so I was like, well, I'm just going to learn to ski.
Yeah.
So I was just the worst at racing because I didn't, you know, I was still learning how to ski.
Yeah.
But they let me be on the team, which was awesome. And I got to do that while I was in high school. Went to college in New York City, fell in love with the city and everything it has to offer. You know, I thought I was going to be a historian and... You know, just really loved all the culture and all of that stuff. But the mountains were always something that were in the back of my mind, and I always felt like there was more skiing to be done, and I really wanted to get good at it, I guess. That was like...
Yeah.
The adventure was part of it, but also I felt like I was okay, but I wanted to really learn how to ski. So after I graduated from school, I moved out to Alta in Utah.
Sick.
Yeah, and spent a season there and got my ass kicked, but learned how to ski.
Sure, you really learned quick.
I learned. I know how to ski now. And so I spent like a season basically out there, and I actually ended up going back for like half of the second season, but there was no snow. So.
Really? What year was this? Yeah,
so the first season was 2010, 2011.
Okay, cool.
Which was like an incredible.
Yeah, it was probably an amazing
time. Yeah, and then the next year, 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
There was just like not a lot of snow, a lot of drinking instead.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I should probably like.
It's good to bring up the year for reference sometime because that way, like, people that have scars from it, like, that are like very emotionally scarred from that season are like, fuck, I remember that shit.
Yeah. You guys all remember that. I think it actually did end up snowing a bit later in the year, but like December, January, just dry.
Yeah.
So. Then I went back to New York City, and I was like, well, I loved this mountain world. I loved being there and skiing every day, and the fact that all that anyone talks about is weather, and that's so cool. But
yeah,
I also miss everything else that a city offers.
Yeah.
And so I decided to stay in New York City and try to find a way to have the balance.
Okay.
And that's where Outdoor Fest came from, and the idea was, how do we connect different people in the outdoor community in New York City through live events or through community meetups, through blog posts or reference, you know, where to go, how to get there, anything. There's so many different ways that you can get people outside. And so that was kind of the inspiration, I guess, or the trajectory to get me to starting Outdoor Fest in 2014.
Mm.
And the fest is a 10-day summer event.
Yep.
And so Mappy Hour actually was suggested by a volunteer for that event, and we were talking about what we could do to strengthen the community leading up to the first Outdoor Fest and meet people and find out what people wanted. And so it was, hey, do you want to hang out in a retail store with some beer and maps? And that was just like the initial setup. There were no speakers. I mean, now we have a lot more programming, but the first one was just come hang out.
Yeah.
And so we did that first, and it ended up being really successful.
Yeah.
And we kept doing it in New York, and, you know, eventually people from other cities started reaching out wanting to host them in their cities, and that's kind of how Mappy Hour became its own thing.
Huh. Why do you think people are so attached to it? Like, why do people like it?
So the name?
Mappy Hour? Or Outdoor Fest, which one?
Mappy Hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, people love that name. No, I think also, so there are a couple things. The chapters are all led by local people and local chapter leaders, and I think they have a huge role in people being connected. So once those chapter leaders are set up, or was your question, how did the the chapter leaders get into it? Or
well, no, like why do people like the event in general?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. So yeah, so I think the chapter leaders being there and sharing what they love is, it gives people space to say that they also connect with the outdoors. And, you know, we're in Denver, and I think Denver is a little bit actually like of an outlier among all our chapters.
How so?
Because it is so outdoorsy already.
Yeah.
So many people are part of the industry or
yeah,
go out every weekend anyway.
Yeah, they don't need that shit as much. Like they don't have that like need for a release. They do that.
Yeah, they kind of know their community a little bit better.
Okay.
Whereas in New York City, just finding people that are into, like, let's say backcountry skiing, for example,
yeah,
is really hard.
Mm.
There's not a central place to do that. And MapBR really provides a space for people to get excited about the outdoors,
okay,
and find a time and a place and people that are really excited about them, that with them.
Yeah.
And so I think it kind of provides a break from like the rest of New York City culture, which is just not about.
No, it's the about outside. Go.
Yeah.
What was it like? I mean, that's got to be crazy to like start an event in a city like that. Like that's a big undertaking.
Yeah, the Map Yard is the easier one because it's inside.
And you're just like, here's beer. Here's
exactly.
Fun,
here's so
fun. Just if you like fun and beer, then.
Yeah. Had to learn some liquor laws for sure.
I'm sure. What happened with that? Like, I feel like if you're saying it like that, there's a story to go with it.
No. No, it's just annoying.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's
there great. Are rules for yeah. some reason. I don't know.
But they make these things up.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Constraints. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, for Outdoor Fest, that definitely, I mean, so our first year we did our camp out at Floyd Bennett Field, which is a campground in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And it's run by National Park Service as part of Gateway National Recreation Area. And after the first year, I decided not to work with parks anymore.
Mm.
So it's just...
Why?
Yeah, right. That's a good question. So there's just a lot of rules about alcohol, about how many people you can have. And, it makes sense because it's a space for everyone.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to have your own event, yeah, they're kind of not that excited about that.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful spot. Everyone should go, but just don't go with like a huge group.
Yeah.
And so we ended up actually renting out a day camp in Staten Island as our spot for our camp out. And that way we can set things up and have tents and do things that public spaces don't always allow you to do.
Mm.
And so, yeah, there's a big learning curve with what's actually allowed when you're working with a local or national.
Right. It's not me.
I don't know.
Somebody's ringing. yeah, that's kind of crazy. Like, so, all right, what is the event? What do you do at the event? I guess we haven't done that.
Yeah.
We've said like what it is kind of, but what do you do there? Like,
yeah,
so what it's like, if I want to go to Outdoor Fest, and I'm like, I'm just guy off the street.
Yes. How does guy
off the street get there? You know?
Sure. Okay. So the first weekend is our camp out, and that's kind of like our big event. And so this year we had 300 people there.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's in New York City. So it's by far the largest camp out in New York City.
Yeah.
And we rent out, again, this, like, day camp in Staten Island.
Yep.
And then just kind of build it out. There's areas for tents. There's an ultra run and a 5K for, you know, the people that want to get on trails. And I should say where it's connected to the Staten Island Greenbelt, which has miles and miles of beautiful trail.
Okay.
Mostly for runners. There is some mountain biking trail, too. But it's really cool because it is in New York City and there are real trails.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's an ultra running component to that. There's slacklining, yoga, hiking, lots of different education. So you want to learn how to use a map and compass. You want to learn how to cook in the backcountry.
All those things are offered.
Everything is part of this one weekend.
No shit.
Yeah. So it's just a really like, there's all, you could come and just chill and like slackline and hammock, or you could come and take classes every hour and just become proficient in backcountry survival, you know?
Yeah.
You could kind of have, or run for 6 hours. So there's all these different people having really different experiences, but together in New York City.
Yeah.
So that's the first weekend.
Yeah.
And then after that, we work with a host of different partners. We have about 40 partners in New York City
right.
who actually host the events.
Right.
And so they will set up. So, for example, Manhattan Kayak is a kayaking boathouse,
okay,
and outfitter in the city. So they'll run a class or a boat rental or do something special for Outdoor Fest, and then we'll promote it and get people to them, show off the Hudson River, show off that you can kayak and stand up paddleboard in the Hudson River, and that's okay, and just where to go and how to do it.
Okay.
So that's an example of an event. We have usually between 20 and 30 other events.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. During the week.
How do you keep all this shit straight?
Spreadsheets.
Really?
Big
spreadsheet user,
love
huh?
Love the spreadsheet.
I have no idea how to use a spreadsheet properly. Like, do you have a class on that?
It's really easy.
Is it?
Yeah, I'll show you.
You should just add, like, in short, how do you do it?
Okay, ready? So you click on the box that you want the information to go in, and then you type.
And that's it.
Then you click on the next box, or you press tab, and it automatically goes to the next box.
Oh, shit. Then what? So how do you, like... How did you start actually organizing these events? Because, like, we didn't have a ton of time to get a bunch of questions in, but one of the questions that we did get, which was from an anonymous asker, was how do you start an event like this? Like, what are the, like, because everybody wants to do things and do this and blah, 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 but it's a lot different being a sayer and being a doer and, like, actually making an event happen. So how did you make it happen?
Yeah, I think through just sheer will.
Yeah,
the first year
it to happen. Yeah,
the first year for sure. You know, there's a few things that I would kind of recommend for people who are looking to start their own events. It's really hard to get sponsors your first year.
It's impossible.
Yeah, because you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Everybody's got an idea. So
everyone has
an idea. Yeah.
Exactly. So, don't even try. I mean, I don't want to say that, but
try. Use your resources.
But don't try. At a certain point, spend your time on other things. Like, work on a Kickstarter, let's say. Like, that might be the better use of your time.
Or find someone you know with a deep pocket.
Yeah, that's right. Like, get your friends to throw
seriously,
in.
Seriously, yeah. Yeah,
and tell them you'll pay them back in a few years, because you can. But sponsors might not be as generous as you want them to be the first year.
Yeah, they might not even answer.
Yeah, because they get, I mean, these brands get pitched and pitched and pitched.
It's not their fault. Yeah,
people.
It's not a personal attack on you.
Totally. Yeah.
So
I think just maybe setting that expectation that, you know, a big brand probably isn't going to swoop in and give you a whole bunch of money your first year and figuring out how to make it work really cheap, but, you know, obviously still make it a great experience, but finance it that first year. That's, I think, one of the hardest things.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, unless you just have a trust fund.
Yeah,
in which case you're good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just hire me, actually.
Yeah, so there you go. That's way better.
Yeah. So that's part of it, kind of figuring out how you'll finance it and what the, like, lowest number that you need to find through friends, Kickstarter, or whatever it is to make it happen is.
Okay.
And going through kind of every single part of the event from, you know, park permit costs to if you're doing, you know, Facebook ads to insurance, which is a really fun thing to learn about, which we will have to do for any outdoor event.
Yeah.
And do that research, spend a week or two really diving into that and figuring out how much money you actually need to make it happen.
Yeah. So when are the events? Like, when, how do people find out about them?
So Outdoor Fest is the first week of June every summer.
Okay.
And it's 10 days.
Okay.
And MAPYRs actually are all the time. So we have usually like 4 a month.
Oh, shit. Okay.
In different cities across the country.
Okay, cool. So this past one just happened, I guess.
That's right. We had one last night.
Not MAPYR. Outdoor Fest. Sorry, I know. Like, it was doing too many things.
So many events.
Outdoor Fest.
Oh, you mean the event that ended a week ago?
How was it?
Yeah. It was great. It was awesome. It was actually the first Outdoor Fest that it didn't rain.
Awesome.
Like, any day. Like, 10 days without rain, which is insane for the East Coast.
Jeez. It was a good week on the East Coast, for sure. Like,
you remember, everyone
was thriving. I was thriving, for sure. I actually almost needed a rain day to stop doing activities for a minute. But
yeah. So that is just, I mean, that's another thing with events. Like, with the outdoor events, weather is a huge thing, and you just have to be able to deal with it. But this year, I didn't have to deal with any of it because it was gorgeous out. Everyone just wanted to be outside every day.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. That's
probably best case scenario.
That was 100% best case scenario.
How was attendance?
It was great. So, yeah. You know, I actually haven't pulled the numbers from across all of our events yet because it ended 9 days ago.
Yeah.
And I was actually at another conference last week. But
and now you're here.
And I'm here, exactly. So I don't have those numbers, but usually it's around 2,000 people that participate.
Holy shit.
That's throughout awesome. The 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, I do know our campout had 310 people, which was a record for us.
That's
so
sick.
I was really psyched about that, and there's a lot of space, so it doesn't feel like people are on top of each other or anything like that. And yeah, it's just, I mean, it's great when you spend months and months planning something and it works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so simple, but
for sure,
it's
yeah, it actually works
so
out.
Rewarding.
It's there's got to be a lot of anxiety kind of rolling up to it.
Oh my gosh!
Like especially the first one, you're like, what if no one shows up?
Totally.
What if no one comes to this event?
What if someone dies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not
totally.
To be dark, but like.
Yeah. Like seriously, know? No. That's the thing that probably goes through your head. I mean, that's like it's pretty insane to think like that. That's kind of in your hands, you know.
100%. You are responsible for people.
Even like when we have like small events, like at the shop or whatever, like I'll have like a tube change event, and you're like rolling up, and it's like events at 6:00. It's like 5:55. There's fucking like one person there, and you're oh my. And then 6:00, you're like 30 people roll in. And you're like, all right, everybody's late all the time. Like that's the way to do it, you know?
I know.
But yeah, those events are like that's one of the things. That's one of the hurdles I think for people is just the anxiety of like having to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of like an extension. That event is kind of an extension of you.
Absolutely. And that's actually something I train all my chapter leaders in MapVR cities. And something I talk about a lot that it isn't personal necessarily. If people don't show up to your event, it might be about how you communicated it or the topic. But it doesn't reflect on you as a person because I totally agree that as an event planner, it can sometimes feel really personal.
Yeah, it's your job, right? Like as an event planner to get people at that event. That's most of maybe not most of the event, but that's a good part of it is having good people there that are really enjoying it. I think the numbers don't matter so much right away. It's just that the people that were there truly enjoyed it, right?
Because
then you can scale that.
Yeah, and if people keep coming back, you just keep growing.
Yeah, it's. So how do you train them? I didn't even know, like, this is all new. Like, I don't do any research on this show. Like, I do I've never done it. I, like, actually probably should. Like I was telling you before, I'm working on an intern for that specific purpose.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably not a bad idea. How do you train people for these events? Like, what goes into that?
Well, so for Outdoor Fest, I usually hire people who have actually been to the events before.
Okay.
So we have volunteers.
Yep.
And so, I'll kind of look at our volunteers and hire from that group. So I have people that have already attended, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And for them, you know, it's event production. So I'm there and they're following my lead, which makes it a little bit easier because I'm on site and I know how to run the event.
Right.
But for Mappy Hour, each chapter is run by a different person, some of whom I've never met, who are all over the country in completely different communities than mine. And so there's like a, you know, multi-hour training process where I go through kind of, here's what I've done, here's what's worked, here's what hasn't, here are our values, and here's where you have flexibility to kind of like run with it if you want.
Right.
And figure it out for yourself and your city.
How do you choose people for Mappy Hour then? Like, how do you like find because like, I'm sure like people hit you up and they're like, oh, I want to do one. And then you're like, maybe you're not qualified. Like, I'm sure that has to happen too. Like, so how do you do that?
Yeah. At the beginning, we didn't have such a stringent application process because I was just so excited that people wanted to start it in different locations. It's like, okay.
In the beginning, it's like, oh my God, friends? You want to do this?
Oh my God. Yeah. So, you know, there were some hiccups with that, but now there's a 3-part application that probably takes about 10 hours to do.
Oh,
so
shit.
So if you can get through that, you're going to be a great chapter leader.
You deserve to be there. I tell you what, I would not be a good chapter leader. There's no way you get me to do 10 hours of paperwork.
Yeah.
There's no.
It's not paperwork. It's like part of it is talking to me. Part of it's writing a blog post about yourself.
Okay, cool.
Part of it's doing research. Part of it is prepping, you know, for your first event. You know, so it's part of a kind of, I don't know how to describe it. Make sure like we're aligned in our values and that also you have the skills to be able to actually organize events and deal with people and facilitate.
Right.
And then there's like obviously how to use the website and boring things. The paperwork side.
The
all that.
The details, the logistics of
it.
Okay, cool. Well, I think that's fucking awesome. I think it's great. I'm actually like, I actually want to go to one. I think next year I'll make a point of going. I wanted to go to Mappy Hour last night, but there was just no way. I was asleep. I was asleep at the wheel. Like, I was like, not literally at the wheel, but I was like, so shot from this show beats you up.
Oh yeah. You just have to ignore it. You just have to pretend.
I've been here. Like, I tweeted yesterday, which I don't do very often, but when I do, I'm like, it's usually complaining about shit. I feel like that's what Twitter's for. I basically was just like, my body can really only handle one outdoor retailer a year, and I do the winter one traditionally. This is my first summer one, but I've done like every SIA and OR since I was like 5, you know? So it's like I've been doing that part of it for a while, but I think I can physically only handle one a year, so I don't know if I'll do this one again. Although, it's going to roll around next year, and I'm going to be like, yeah, totally, I want to go again. Like, it was great.
Well, maybe, I think also there's, like, a pacing that can be done.
I'm fucking terrible at pacing. Terrible at pacing.
Sounds like maybe you went a little hard at the beginning. And
oh, yeah. Went a little hard yesterday, went a little hard the day before, went a little hard. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know. Even with running, it's like, I didn't understand that. So I'm, like, doing this 30 days of running thing. It's fucking so stupid. I, like.
But awesome?
No, it's just stupid. I committed to doing 30 days, so I'm doing it. I'm like on day 19 or something like that. Like, you run a minimum of a mile a day. It's really been like more to like 2 to 3, 4 a day. And it's like, I'm not a runner. I mean, I'm not built like a runner. I thump my feet a lot when I run. So it's like, I haven't figured out how to pace that out either, you know? So it's just not a, it's not a great thing, but.
You'll be done with that in like a week.
No, yeah, it feels longer than that. But yeah, it is what it is, I guess. Well, we're starting to get busier here. So why don't we wrap this thing up? Where can people find info on your events? Where can they find you?
Cool.
Plug away.
All right, let's do it. If you are in New York City, you should definitely check out Outdoor Fest. So we're only in New York, but we do it every summer. It's really fun. And we'd love to have you if you love the outdoors. And that's outdoorfest.com and at outdoorfest on the socials.
Cool.
And then Mappy Hour is open to anyone who wants to do a 10-hour application. No, it is really fun and really rewarding. And if you do want to start a chapter, you should reach out to me. We do it in cities. So if you are city-based, definitely check it out. And then, you know, if you're in Cleveland, Richmond, D.C., New York, oh my gosh, now I'm going to forget one. Detroit, Denver, Austin, or Calgary. I think I forgot someone. I'm sorry, chapter, who I forgot. Oh, Springfield, Missouri. That was it. If you're in any...
I would forget them, too. No offense. I'm just kidding.
They're going to listen. It's going to be
They're
going to
listen. They're going to be like, oh, hang on. I'm from Springfield, Mass., so that's why I shit on Springfield, Missouri, all right? Because we're the better Springfield.
Oh,
so
gosh.
Even though it's... No, we're not actually the better. Whatever.
Okay, we'll vote online. We'll do a poll.
We can. Springfield, Mass. Is going to lose. It's like top 5 crime cities in the country or some shit like that. So it's not a good thing. Anyway, where can people reach out to you?
If you're in one of those cities and you want to join a chapter, you can go to mappyhour.org.
Okay.
And then we're also on social at mappy_hour.
And if people wanted to reach you specifically?
Yeah, Sarah with an H at outdoorfest.com. Perfect. Or Sarah Knapp on Instagram, but without any vowels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Sarah Knapp with the vowels was taken.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, cool. Great.
So.
Well, thank you for doing this. This was awesome.
Yeah, no, thank you for chatting.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. Episode 68 is in the bag. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I really enjoyed talking to Sarah. We got up pretty early to do this one. This is the earliest podcast I think I've ever done in terms of time of the day. So I hope I don't seem too distracted. We were also like in a closet doing this. So it's a little weird. It's a little weird to meet somebody and go, hey, nice to meet you. Let's go hang out in this closet for half an hour and talk very close to one another. But I guess that's what podcasting is. So be sure to check out everything she does. You can find Mappy Hour on Instagram. It's at Mappy Hour. And you can also find Outdoor Fest on Instagram. It's just at Outdoor Fest, I believe. Why are we never prepared, Adam? Outdoor Fest. Yes, it's just at Outdoor Fest. And Mappy Hour is at Mappy_hour. So check out both of those awesome companies, awesome groups, and we'll talk to you guys next week with, I don't know what episode's going to be next week, but it's a good one because it's episode number 69. don't know. We'll leave it then. We'll see what happens. We'll see who comes out for episode 69. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.